from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, not guilty. The Senate declaring the president not guilty on both articles of impeachment. We'll talk about it, as well as the president's State of the Union address to the nation last night.
I say to the people of our great country and to the members of Congress, the state of our union is stronger than ever before.
Texas Congressman Kevin Brady joins us to talk about the Trump administration's amazing record of economic success. And the president's State of the Union address left no issue untouched, including the moral and spiritual issues which are at the core of making America great again. Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, was the guest of our friend, Congressman Kevin McCarthy, and he joins us with a pastor's perspective of the State of the Union address. Also, Ken Blackwell is back from the Iowa caucuses, and he joins us in studio along with Travis Weber, Vice President of Policy here at the Family Research Council. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. Last night, President Trump delivered his third State of the Union address, where he touched on the right to life and religious liberty, which we'll talk about later in the program. But some are calling into question or outright ignoring what the president has done for America's economy. Here is how he opened his address to the nation last night.
3 years ago, we launched the Great American Comeback. Tonight, I stand before you to share the incredible results. Jobs are booming. Incomes are soaring. Poverty is plummeting. Crime is falling. Confidence is surging. And our country is thriving and highly respected again.
Well, joining me to talk about the accomplishments of this administration is Kevin Brady, who represents the 8th Congressional District of the Lone Star State. Kevin is the ranking Republican on the House Ways and Means Committee, the former chairman and vice chairman of the Joint Economic Committee, and responsible for getting a lot of the president's economic plans through when the Republicans were in the majority in the House. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for having me.
I would have to say, Kevin, this is a vindication of a lot of what you worked on when you were chairing the committee during the time that the Republicans had the majority in the House and pushed through tax cuts, regulatory rollbacks, and many of the things that you were working hand in hand with the administration on.
Yeah, it is. Look, it is rewarding because what we set out to do is what we're seeing today, which is if you let people keep more of what they earn for their dreams, if you redesign the tax code so our small businesses can grow, so our American businesses can compete and win anywhere in the world, when you create a code where you bring manufacturing jobs and companies back to America, boy, look at the results. And what the president talked about, this blue-collar boom, it's real. And I can't tell you how many days, nights, and phone calls I had with the president. And he was always talking about working families, blue-collar families, the forgotten man and woman. And under his leadership, that's where our economy is booming. We all know the millions of jobs. We know the unemployment rates. But look, lifting 2 million people out of poverty in a year and a half, lifting almost a million out of, or more than that, out of food stamps. Wages going up more for the low income and the blue collar than their supervisors. Thinking about, and this is amazing to me, women are winning the jobs race in America. Women of color, who'd always been left behind, are winning the jobs race in America. And income inequality, I think that bothers everybody. This president, for the first time in half a century, is shrinking income inequality because the salaries are going up faster for those with the low and middle incomes than the high incomes. And that's exactly, if you're pro-family, you got to be thinking about those working families. And he does, day and night.
And the numbers tell the story. I mean, for the first time, we're seeing real wages outpace inflation. So people are feeling it. I would have to say, in part, with his strong stand on everything else, I mean, he fights for what he believes in, including the economic issues, which I think he's most comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
But the polling shows that the American people are saying his job approval rating is the highest of his tenure, despite all of the backdrop of the investigations and impeachment.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he had a Congress that worked with him?
So every day he's been attacked relentlessly by Democrats, by the media, by liberals, and he's achieved all of this. And, yeah, can you imagine if they actually ever worked with him? I know it doesn't bother him that they attack all the time, but it ought to trouble Americans, and especially today where I think the Senate preserved the Constitution by exonerating the president. I think every American, I don't care what party you are, ought to be troubled by the secret hearings, the manufactured evidence, the shamefully partisan impeachment process, and more so the shredding of due process rights in this impeachment. I really applaud the senators whose principles and sense of duty compel them to weigh the flimsy evidence presented by the House and come up with the only principled verdict, which is acquit.
Let me ask you this, Congressman Brady, given that this now is behind us, like the Russian investigation, all of these things, are they truly in the rearview mirror? Will Congress be able to move forward working with the president to advance the economy even further? I mean, are we going to see something else come out of the shadows somewhere?
You know, my fear is just what you said. Right now, at least in the House, there is a lot of chatter, and this needless national distraction may not be over because House Democrats privately are weighing impeaching the president again, beginning another round of investigations. And I think not just a horrible mistake, but they got to remember why voters sent them to Congress, and that's to solve problems for the American people. And we're eager to on ending surprise medical bills, which really hit families hard, lowering the cost of medicines, bringing new drugs to the market. There are good things we can do, but not if they launch another impeachment effort.
So ultimately, this comes down to elections. I mean, the American people elected Donald Trump to get things done. He's doing it despite having, really two arms tied behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
When he's got Congress working against him. I mean, just think, again, if he had back Republican leadership in control, being able to work with him to advance some of these ideas and policies. I mean, he's going to roll out some really – he touched on them last night. I've had conversations with the White House, as I'm sure you have, on a number of issues. But part of that's immigration reform, comprehensive immigration reform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he rolled out 2 weeks ago school prayer initiatives. So, I mean, he's going to be doing a lot. He could be so successful if we had the like-minded leadership in the House.
Yeah, and I think Tony, my guess is I just came back from Iowa, where there was incredible enthusiasm and unity for the president. I'm convinced Republicans will take back the House, and just as we did in the first 2 years with those achievements, I think with the Republican House, Senate, and President Trump, you know, we're going to be able to achieve a lot of those goals the American people want us to tackle, and I wish Democrats would work with us, but I just haven't seen much inkling of that.
Well, I think people need to. In fact, last night I think they saw it. I think they saw the choice before us. And I have to commend the president. I did. Great speech, but with the backdrop of the impeachment, the hearings, the trial, he stayed focused, and I thought mm-hmm. gave a very forward-thinking, positive, visionary speech that ranks up there at the top of one of his best speeches that he's given in 3 years.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was absolutely the best. And I thought it was very moving, too. He humanized these issues in such an important way, and I love the fact that he is just straight up pro-life. You know, every child is a miracle of life. You know, just straightforward on family, on religious freedom. He just is unafraid to tackle that, and it's refreshing. And two, Tony, I have to, every time I talk with you, I always want to thank you for during tax reform, your leadership and guidance to me, because preserving that adoption tax credit so that we encourage more choices for life. in the House version, repealing the Johnson Amendment so our pastors can speak and teach the Bible from the pulpit. All your work. We put in the first definition of life in the tax code. It didn't survive the Senate and the final version, but for your leadership, we would not have been able to put those pro-family provisions in, and I'm really grateful.
Well, thank you, Congressman Brady. And the only reason we're able to do that is because we got folks like you on the Hill that share our values. We're just able to point those things out and work with you to get those done. In fact, I had a group of pastors over meeting with Mitch McConnell today before the vote, and that was one of the discussions was the Johnson Amendment. And there is a growing understanding of really the sharp contrast between the two parties and the two types of leaderships and the two visions for America. And it's really the two never meet anymore. It's so there's such a distance between the two. And I again want to commend you and your colleagues for staying the course. And I do think that the American people are getting the message. And this president, he is not backing up. He's not shrinking back. He's not being quiet.
No, he's not.
Leading boldly and courageously.
Unafraid. Well, I got to run to votes, if you don't mind, Tony. But again, thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks so much, Kevin. Thanks so much for joining us and appreciate your leadership. Congressman Kevin Brady of Texas, he is the ranking member on the House Ways and Means Committee, previously the chairman. These issues matter. And what we're actually seeing in terms of the president being able to talk about his economic successes, job growth, unemployment way down, real wages up, is because of economic policy. Now, government doesn't do everything, okay? The government doesn't create jobs. Government doesn't create wealth. But they set the rules. And they can either be a hindrance or they can get out of the way. And what this administration has been doing systematically is removing regulatory restrictions that just, quite frankly, turn everybody's attention to government. And putting more money back into the pockets of Americans. Now, there's still a lot of work to be done. Number one, I think we've got to cut our deficit. Our deficit spending is way too high, which has led us to, I mean, we've been on this path now for years, but over $22 trillion in debt. We got to deal with that. But the first thing is in place, and that is a growing economy. Now we just have to restrict spending, let the economy grow, let the revenues from a growing economy begin to eliminate that deficit and ultimately the pay down on that debt. But folks, clearly, there is two very divergent views and visions for America. And I think the president last night laid it out very succinctly, talking not just on the economic issues, but talking also on the moral, the spiritual, the social, however you want to describe them. But I would say they are the issues that are at the core of making America great. We're going to talk about those next. Our good friend, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, was the guest of Congressman Kevin McCarthy of California. And he was in the chamber for the speech, and he's going to join me next to talk about those issues of faith, those issues of the sanctity of human life. That's coming up next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. More to come.
In the U.S., the rate of chemical abortions is at an all-time high. This increase is being driven by the abortion industry, which wants abortion pills available through the pharmacy in the mail, making do-it-yourself abortions the future of the abortion industry. Abortion advocates once claimed that legal abortion would prevent back-alley abortions, but the health complications that often result from chemical abortion are eerily similar to those of back-alley abortions. For more information, visit frc.org/chemicalabortion.
China has become one of the most totalitarian states in human history. The Chinese Communist Party restricts religious practice and oppresses religious minorities on a sweeping scale, targeting those of every faith. The Chinese Communist Party's consistent abuses of human rights prove that it cannot be treated just like any other country. The United States must address these violations in their trade and diplomatic dealings with China. For more information about the human rights crisis in China, visit frc.org/China.
What are you reading this winter? Looking for timely and original commentary on human dignity, marriage, and religious liberty? We've got you covered at frcblog.com. The content on our blog is written by our policy experts, FRC staff, as well as outside contributors. Read about a wide variety of topics like crimes in the criminal state of China, how Game of Thrones mainstreamed sexual exploitation, transgender regret, the rise of the detransitioners, and many more. Stand for truth by staying informed at frcblog.com.
What other trip to Israel can you take that combines walking where Jesus walked with meeting today's Israeli leaders? This is Tony Perkins, president of Family Research Council, inviting you to spend an incredible 9 days in Israel with me, General Jerry Boykin, and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from June the 2nd through the 12th. You'll discover the roots of your faith and learn from experts about the geopolitical landscape of the region. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155.
We all need to be lectured sometimes. Family Research Council's new podcast features selected talks by top thinkers from the archives of the FRC Speaker Series. Our podcast podium takes on tough issues like religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture. All from a biblical worldview. Listen with us to the lecture, then stick around afterward as we break down the content. The Lecture Me podcast is available wherever podcasts are found, or visit frc.org/podcasts.
Ever heard the term toxic masculinity? Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council. Some progressive universities are offering courses to help men unlearn rigid definitions of masculinity, treating it as if it were a mental health condition. Thankfully, the culture doesn't have the last word on manhood. God does. Check out our StandCourageous.com for an event in your area. That's StandCourageous.com. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. All right, we were just discussing President Trump's third State of the Union speech, which he made last night on Capitol Hill to a joint session of Congress. And we were talking about the economic policies and the successes there, unemployment, historic low, jobs created, all the good economic issues. But when we talk about what is at the core, what's at the center of making America great, it's the values. It's the sanctity of human life. It is religious freedom. It is making people proud to be an American because we're doing the right thing. And when you're, as Alexis de Tocqueville is often pointed to as one saying that, you know, the secret to America and its greatness was that it was good. Yet some, like Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who tore up the president's speech at the conclusion of his address, see these core value issues as controversial. Well, joining me now in studio is one of FRC's Watchmen on the Wall pastors, Calvary Chapel Pastor Jack Hibbs from Chino Hills, California. Pastor Jack, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be with you in studio.
And you were actually there present last night for the State of the Union address.
I was, and I thank you for that. You had a great help in getting me into that. And Tony, it was absolutely amazing. The level of excitement, the atmosphere charged, I have to say, with hope. There was so much enthusiasm. And I tell you, some of the things that really touched my heart was just the positive note of the entire evening, the things that were brought up, the successes that were notated. On the downside, I say downside, can I say on the ridiculous side, was the fact that on the other side of the aisle, there was this huge gathering of people who could not clap. They could not cheer on Tony, a young kid that was inspired or is inspired to maybe someday be part of the new U.S. Space Force. His great-grandfather stood as one of the last few remaining Tuskegee Airmen. There wasn't a dry eye in the place. Well, on one side of the aisle, there wasn't a dry eye. And there was such a division of hope and despair, of optimism and depression.
But it shows the divide that is in our country. But here's what I think attracts so many people to the president, that does not deter him, that there are those that despise this agenda. And unlike previous occupants of that office on the Republican side of the ticket, he's not backing down.
No.
And I've got a few clips, folks, from last night that I want to play. One was on the life issue, which he set up in such a significant way with a young child who was now 2 years old that was in the gallery, born at, I think, was it 22 weeks or
21 or 22?
Yeah, right, youngest. There at that point of what is described as viability. But also, as you hear in this, as he wrapped that up with a nice bow, is at the same point in which we are killing babies through abortion. Play clip number two.
That is why I'm also calling upon members of Congress here tonight to pass legislation finally banning the late-term abortion of babies. Whether we are Republican, Democrat, or independent, surely we must all agree that every human life is a sacred gift from God.
You would think that would be something that we could agree upon, but Pastor Jack, as you pointed out, there was crickets on one side of the chamber last night at that point.
There truly was, and you could feel it. You know, Tony, the Scripture says in Isaiah chapter 10, "Woe to those who make unjust laws and to those who issue oppressive decrees that deprive the poor of their rights." And if you think about a defenseless child, the Spirit, this is the Word of God that I just read, Isaiah 10:1. There was an aggression, as it were. There was a jaw set. There were angry looks over the topic and the issue of life.
Right.
I was shocked by that. I mean, I knew that the Democrat Party is very, very much not pro-life, but to sense and to feel, I'm kind of bummed that our listeners right now couldn't experience what we experienced, in the sense that you could feel the atmosphere. When he mentioned life, there was this sense where we don't want life. We don't care about that. In fact, it was obvious that they cared about life based on their terms, life after they determine it being viable.
As they define it, not
but
as God
as a creature,
it.
Child, baby, call it what you want. It's life from conception. The moment, nope, they're not interested in talking about that, and they want to put themselves up as fair and scientific. Trump laid it out there, and everyone, I think, Tony, who thinks reasonably, frankly, got it.
You know, mentioning that, Pastor Jack, in our we launched at the beginning of the year a two-year Through the Bible that we're encouraging our listeners to join us in. In fact, if you haven't, folks, go to TonyPerkins.com. It's all laid out there for you. But today's reading was in Exodus chapter 1, where Pharaoh told the midwives to kill the baby boys on the birth stool when they were born. Basically, birthday abortion, the same thing is being debated in this country today. But the midwives, the Scripture says in Exodus chapter 1, that the midwives, verse 17, but the midwives' wives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. You see, the fears of tyrants who are trying to, they're fearful of the future and they want power and they're grasping at it. That fear is always trumped by a fear of God.
You know, I love what you just said, and I don't know how much preaching you want to do on this program right now, but I'm telling you right now that kind of attitude, you look at Pharaoh's desire to kill the kids. You look at Herod's desire to kill the kids. You look
history.
At Satan's desire to kill the kids. People need to wake up and find out what side and what platform they're in association with, because one is for life and one is not for life.
Pastor Jack, we're up against a break. We're going to come back with more of Pastor Jack Hibbs from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, as we look at President Donald Trump's third State of the Union address. He also talked about religious freedom, and he talked about
parents having a right to choose the educational path for their children. We're going to talk about that next on Washington Watch. Don't go away. Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council and host of Washington Watch. I invite you to join our family and thousands of others across the country in standing on the Word of God as we go into 2020, the global year of the Bible, by joining in a two-year family chronological Bible reading plan. I can assure you that your family will be powerfully impacted by reading God's Word and growing in the understanding of His truth together. The readings take only 15 to 20 minutes a day, with Sundays set aside for a family or small group discussion. To join us, simply go to TonyPerkins.com and click on Stand on the Word with FRC. That's TonyPerkins.com or call 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Let's stand together on the Word of God and change the world, beginning in our own home.
Last year, my brother Josh, a 37-year-old married father with five kids under the age of nine, announced he was becoming a woman. Josh changed his name to Melissa and now requires everyone to use she, her pronouns when referring to him. If the grandparents refuse to do this, they've been threatened with limited access to their grandchildren. My tall, handsome, muscular brother began taking strong female hormones that transformed him into a different person. He began wearing dresses, wigs, heels, and makeup in public. He will have to stay on female hormones until the day he dies. He refuses to answer to the name Josh now. He says Josh is dead. There was even some type of symbolic burial ceremony to say goodbye to Josh, once and for all. You've been listening to an excerpt from a six-part series telling the true account of a family impacted by the transgender movement. To read this important blog series, visit frc.org/cult.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. So glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, last night, President Donald Trump delivered his third State of the Union address. And I have to tell you, it was, in my view, a remarkable speech. He touched on all of the issues that I believe makes America a great nation, and it certainly I think fans the flames of patriotism. I think it made him just amazing to me with the backdrop of the impeachment vote today in the Senate and all of the constant pounding that he takes from the left, that he cast a very positive, forward-looking vision for America. Pastor Jack Hibbs, my guest, he was in the chamber last night for the speech. And I want to touch on a couple of other issues that he brought up. I want to play this clip. He highlighted a young girl, I believe from Pennsylvania, who would have benefited from a scholarship program, which we see about 20 states have these. It's people can take a tax deduction by putting money into these scholarships, which now, by the way, are coming under the attack by the left. We had Senator Marco Rubio on yesterday talking about how the left is attacking the one in Florida because these children are choosing religious schools. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Religious schools believe the Bible. Mm-hmm. Surprise, surprise.
Yep.
And that offends the LGBTQ XYZ community. So let's play this clip number three, please.
No parent should be forced to send their child to a failing government school.
The president saying school choice. It is a priority for his administration. It is something they're going to be pushing.
You know, why not? If you are going to run a business, you're going to want to do the best and have the best available. How much more for our kids? Why can't parents choose the education that they desire for their children? They're taxpayers. They're right. Citizens. They're Americans. Why can't they choose? Now, here's the thing, Tony. The government, the left wants the government to be the God over all of our lives. And the God of the Bible wants the parents to bring their children up in the admonition of the Lord.
Right.
And so, of course, the bottom line is we want to control your kids. We want to indoctrinate them. Look, I'm hailing from California. We've got this radical sex education imposed upon us. They want control of our children's minds.
That's exactly what it is, but it's certainly not outcomes when it comes to educational achievement, because I've had Bill Bennett on the program. We've talked about this multiple times, about how test scores continue to decline. Math and reading scores are declining. And it's worse, it's most significant in these failing schools where low-income children are trapped. And if you're going to get out of that environment, education is one of the main vehicles to carry you out. And they are more interested in locking in the kids and indoctrinating right. them with the agenda of the left than they are about their success as adults, as contributors to American society. But this ties into the next thing that he mentioned, because, as you said, parents are given the responsibility by God to teach and train their children. That's where we see this huge battle on religious freedom. And he had this to say. Play clip number four.
My administration is also defending religious liberty, and that includes the constitutional right to pray in public schools. In America, we don't punish prayer. We don't tear down crosses. We don't ban symbols of faith. We don't muzzle preachers and pastors. In America, we celebrate faith. We cherish religion. We lift our voices in prayer, and we raise our sights to the glory of God.
Multiple issues he touched on there that affect you as a pastor in California. In fact, this administration advancing policies, in fact, just had you on recently about the Weldon Amendment that the Department of Health and Human Services is now going after the state of California, demanding that they respect your right not to be forced to pay for abortions in the health care of your church staff.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. California is in technically violation of federal law because it is the law of the land that a 501c3 church, for example, like ours, should not have to be forced to pay for elective abortions, and that's in the process. Tony, the president last night in that last clip you just played, if we could get pastors across America to talk like that. He gave glory to God. He's standing on the issues. Our president last night saw no difference between church and state, which our founders saw no difference between the separation of church and state. They included the church, the Judeo-Christian value was at the epicenter of the formation of not only our laws, but you know well, Tony, that they drew, Jefferson and Madison and others drew from the two-volume treaty of John Locke, where there's over 1,500 citations of scripture. It was the scripture that was the foundation of this nation. Either the other side didn't know that, does not know that, or they're ignorant of it, or they do know it, and they're diametrically opposed.
Probably all of the above, since most of them, a lot of them have spent time rewriting history.
That's true.
Many don't know about. Jack Hibbs, out of time. I want to thank you for joining us, and so good to see you again here in Washington, D.C.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, folks. You know, that's a good point Pastor Jack made. You know, many, many pastors want political leaders to talk about issues that they won't preach about. And pastors, we need to preach about these issues from our pulpit, lest we lose our ability to talk about them. All right, when we come back, Travis Weber joins me, as does Ken Blackwell, fresh from Iowa. We're going to talk about the Iowa caucuses and more on the President's State of the Union address that he gave last night here in Washington, D.C. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
In the U.S., the rate of chemical abortions is at an all-time high. This increase is being driven by the abortion industry, which wants abortion pills available through the pharmacy in the mail, making do-it-yourself abortions the future of the abortion industry. Abortion advocates once claimed that legal abortion would prevent back-alley abortions, but the health complications that often result from chemical abortion are eerily similar to those of back-alley abortions. For more information, visit frc.org/chemical-abortion.
China has become one of the most totalitarian states in human history. the Chinese Communist Party restricts religious practice and oppresses religious minorities on a sweeping scale, targeting those of every faith. The Chinese Communist Party's consistent abuses of human rights prove that it cannot be treated just like any other country. The United States must address these violations in their trade and diplomatic dealings with China. For more information about the human rights crisis in China, visit frc.org/China.
What are you reading this winter? Looking for timely and original commentary on human dignity, marriage, and religious liberty? We've got you covered at frcblog.com. The content on our blog is written by our policy experts, FRC staff, as well as outside contributors. Read about a wide variety of topics like crimes in the criminal state of China, how Game of Thrones mainstreamed sexual exploitation, transgender regret, the rise of the detransitioners, and many more. Stand for truth by staying informed at frcblog.com.
What other trip to Israel can you take that combines walking where Jesus walked with meeting today's Israeli leaders? This is Tony Perkins, president of Family Research Council, inviting you to spend an incredible 9 days in Israel with me, General Jerry Boykin, and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from June the 2nd through the 12th. You'll discover the roots of your faith and learn from experts about the geopolitical landscape of the region. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155.
We all need to be lectured sometimes. Family Research Council's new podcast features selected talks by top thinkers from the archives of the FRC Speaker Series. Our podcast podium takes on tough issues like religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture, all from a biblical worldview. Listen with us to the lecture, then stick around afterward as we break down the content. The Lecture Me podcast is available wherever podcasts are found, or visit frc.org/podcasts.
Ever heard the term toxic masculinity? Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council. Some progressive universities are offering courses to help men unlearn rigid definitions of masculinity, treating it as if it were a mental health condition. Thankfully, the culture doesn't have the last word on manhood. God does. Check out our StandCourageous.com for an event in your area. That's StandCourageous.com. This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And hey, let me remind you, if you'd like to go to Israel with us, that's coming up in June the 2nd through the 12th. To find out more about how you can join this really once-in-a-lifetime trip where you not only get to see the biblical sites, the biblical history, but you get to see how it intersects with today's geopolitical landscape. You'll hear from religious leaders, political leaders. It's a fascinating, fascinating trip. So find out more how you can join us. Go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, we've been talking about the President's State of the Union address, and we're going to continue that. But I also want to bring in the issue of the Iowa caucuses, a disaster for the Democratic Party, but insightful. There's some takeaways from this that, you know, it's somewhat predictive of what we may be looking at over the next 9 months. Joining me now in studio, Travis Weber, Vice President for Policy and Government Affairs here at the Family Research Council, and Ken Blackwell, Senior Fellow for Constitutional Government and Human Rights, and he's fresh from the Iowa Trail. Ken,
Tony,
welcome.
Tony, it's good to be with you. And let me give a shout-out to our Washington Watch listeners out there in Iowa. They showed up at my caucus session, and it was real heartening to know that not only do they listen, but they act.
Yeah, and you actually were saying you had almost double the turnout than what was anticipated.
Absolutely. It was a real indication that the Trump ground game is in motion, but more importantly, that the president drives a voter intensity that's going to be very important on election night in November.
And to contrast that, to juxtapose the Democratic turnout was essentially what it was in 2016, which was somewhat anemic.
The turnout was poor, and it was rank incompetence in terms of the execution of the caucus process. Look, President Trump got a larger turnout than Barack Obama did in his reelection effort in Iowa. He got a greater turnout than even Ronald Reagan. It was substantial. But what it really speaks to is that this election is not going to be taken for granted anywhere, and it's going to get done family member to family member, church member to church member, neighbor to neighbor.
You know, Travis, we're seeing through the Iowa caucuses and through the campaigning in Iowa and the debates up to this point, I think an unprecedented contrast between the two parties when it comes to policies.
We are. And Tony, we talk about this quite often here, in advocating for life, family, religious liberty. We're looking at the policy records, the achievements of what leaders, including President Trump, are doing. He's laid out a clear record over the last 3 years of achievements on life issue, religious liberty, both at home and abroad, and protecting the family. This is even coming up in recent days when you look at the controversy over school choice. It should be a no-brainer. The freedom to choose to send a child to a religious school should be a no-brainer, yet you have opponents, Democrats, lining up to oppose these things because of the cut that it makes into the public education lobby, and they don't like Christian beliefs being manifested in schools. So clearly a contrast more and more, I think, as we enter this year.
I've got a clip of a caucus goer. This is a Democratic caucus goer in Iowa. Now, folks, the sound here is a little hard to hear, and I'll explain it to you, but I think it's significant. This is a caucus goer who apparently caucused for Pete Buttigieg. Now, the precinct captain is the other woman you hear, Nikki Van Den Hever, who was trying to talk this Iowa woman out of withdrawing her card on behalf of Buttigieg. Now, the reason, well, I'm going to let you listen to it, and then I will explain it, provide a little color commentary. Let's play.
So are you saying that he has a same-sex partner?
He?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, he's married to him, yeah.
Well, then I don't want anybody like that in the White House. So can I have my card back?
And he's still there.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He signed it.
We could go ask.
I never knew that.
The whole point of it is, though, he's a human being, right? Just like you and me, and shouldn't really matter. That's what.
Well, he better read the Bible.
He does, and he says that God doesn't choose a political party. Because
why does it say in the Bible that a man should marry a woman then?
I totally respect your viewpoint on this. I so totally do. We can talk to someone if you need to talk to them about this. I don't know the rules on this or not, but I guess what I would like you to just dig deep inside and think, like, should it matter if it's a woman or if it's a man or if they're heterosexual or homosexual, if you believe in what they say? That's my question.
It all just went right down the toilet is where it all just went.
All right. Let me I just had to play that because for a multitude of reasons. Now, this was a Democratic caucus goer. So this was not a conservative trying to catch a liberal. This was someone who caucused for Buttigieg, found out that he was married to a man and said, wait a minute, I didn't know that. I want my card back. Can I get it back? The precinct captain saying, well, I don't know if you can or not, but then engaging her in a discussion about what the Bible says or doesn't say. There's so much here, but one, Ken Blackwell, I want to go to you because I do believe that they've tried to keep this somewhat under wraps. Now, it's mentioned occasionally, but you'll notice the press never talks about the fact that he's married to a man and that he is an open homosexual.
They don't, but they actually know that most Iowans are hardworking, Bible-believing, constitution-embracing Americans, and that they can't come with transparency and carry the day. And as a consequence, they're going to lose not just because of organizational incompetence. They're going to lose because they are advancing a notion that our basic human rights are not gifts from God. They think they're grants from government and that they are transactional.
Right.
And they're not.
Travis, we see once again the Bible come into play here where they're trying to defend this same-sex marriage based upon Scripture.
Tony, I think where that woman responded and said, but it says in the Bible, a man should marry a woman, that encapsulates what we're trying to do when we think about biblical public policy, because we're referencing Scripture. Now, oftentimes we really have to get in and wrestle with Scripture. That woman is correct. It's pretty clear what God's stance on marriage is. And all we're saying is, let's apply these principles and biblical prescriptions for the issue to public policy. So I think that really a glimpse into this issue. I wish, as was referenced in that interchange, I wish those views would be respected. The woman said, I respect that view. We're fighting for respect for those views, for freedom for those views in a host of areas right now. And I think the country would be better off if there was respect for different views.
Well, I think that's what people need to understand. We've had a front row seat to this. I mean, we've actually been in the arena where there is not. Those that are trumpeting tolerance are the last ones to actually show tolerance. They are demanding affirmation for something that runs counter to Scripture. And there can be no coexistence in their mind. This kind of idea of live and let live, it's just not there. I mean, we've seen it in the bakers. We've seen it in the florist. We've seen it in the teachers. I mean, we're seeing it even more now with this whole transgender movement, where you're forced to use different pronouns. I mean, there's no tolerance for those that hold to what people have believed from the beginning of the human race, that we're created man and woman. Male and female.
Absolutely true, Tony. To add to that list, now we're seeing in Florida no tolerance for Christian schools holding to their beliefs on marriage and sexuality like they've held to for many, many years. List being published and portrayed in supposed news reporting as this is some new horrific thing. Right. When this is Christians living by their faith for years, all of a sudden now being shamed and blacklisted publicly.
Yeah, so this woman is right to raise this issue, because those types of choices impact policy. I mean, when you have someone that is promoting same-sex marriage, it's certainly going to impact their policies as it pertains to religious freedom.
Absolutely. And let me just say, it was very clear to me on the days that I spent in Iowa that Iowans are not stupid. They are very literate when it comes to not only the Bible, but the Constitution. Look, at the end of the day, the Democrats and their base, the most rabid Democrats, are taking a forward giant leap to the left. And it's no accident that the president talked about socialism last night in his,
right.
in his State of the Union address. That wasn't just something that he pulled out of the sky. Their yes, program is real.
It is a threat.
It is a threat.
It is. All right, I want to go to that now. I want to transition back to the President's State of the Union address, which he gave last night. And Ken and Travis, I want to get your impressions, your big takeaways. What was most significant in what the president had to say last night from your perspective? I'll start with you, Travis.
So, Tony, it was a good speech. I think there's a lot we could say about it. Just focusing on some of the things that we focus on. I'll let Ken provide his broader comments. But on the issue of life, the president highlighted a baby girl who was born at 21 weeks, survived that birth, and is now with her mother in the gallery. He called on Congress to pass late-term abortion bans. For us, that means the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, the Born Alive Survivors Protection Act, to promote a culture of life. The president also referenced religious freedom and his efforts to protect the right of public school students to pray. We know that there are just a number of proposed rules announced and guidance issued ensuring these constitutional protections are followed around the country. The president also mentioned the 187 federal judges that have been confirmed. Very important for originalist understanding of the Constitution and life, family, and religious liberty in the courts. He also referenced Iran and China and Venezuela. As we've focused on religious freedom around the world, Iran and China are places that we have made sure to advocate for that. So for the things that we deal with day to day, Tony, a lot of mention. And, you know, I think there were broader themes that hammer home his policy successes in other areas. Certainly the speech made note of that.
Yeah. Ken?
Yeah, look, I know that what the president wanted to do in this speech was to say, look, I not only made promises in terms of policy initiatives and desired turns towards, you know, growth and development and more freedom and more secure America, I'm actually, you know, now I'm going to show you where I kept those promises.
Right.
And he went down that punch
yeah.
list. But it wasn't just a meaningless punch list. He put a human face on it last night with his guests.
Yeah. That
and that was very, very powerful. And he gave a contrast. Do you want, you know, the welfare state, or do you want an opportunity society? And he said, I'm on the march of building and expanding an opportunity society where life matters, where freedom matters, where economic growth and work matter. And sure enough, I think he, in fact, hit a grand slam last night.
I would agree. I think, you know, the president has made some really good speeches. I actually thought last year's State of the Union address was really good. I thought his speech in Normandy this past summer was a great speech. He's made some really good speeches, but this ranks up there at the top. And I think, from my perspective, I think what gives this speech significance is what you just pointed to. It's not rhetoric; it is a record that he is talking about. He's actually accomplishing. He's fought for religious freedom, so he's not just saying, "I'm going to fight for the unborn." He's actually done that. He has defunded in large part Planned Parenthood when it comes to family planning funds. No longer $60 million is no longer going into their pockets because they refuse to separate their abortion from family planning. You know, the policy of what's called Mexico City, funding abortions in foreign places. He said, no, we're not doing that. $9 billion covered by that policy. So there's a record.
Yeah, absolutely. And next time you see the president, he might say, thanks, Tony, because I'm going to say to him, Tony has a line that I think you need to use, Mr. President. It is not rhetoric. It's a record.
Yeah. It is. And I think that's why people can believe what he's saying. Travis, I'm going to give you the last word.
Tony, I agree. The speech was masterful in weaving these policy achievements together. Just one note on a policy achievement. Their policy on Venezuela, promoting freedom, posing dictatorship, promoting socialism down there. We had Juan Guaido in the gallery last night that was brilliant in sending our message on a serious foreign policy issue to the country of Venezuela.
Well, obviously, we've got several months to go, and I think we're going to see more accomplishments on the life front, on the front of religious freedom, and strengthening the American family. And so this election, about big issues, big defining issues about what America is going to be and America's future and the future of our children. And it all comes back to those core value issues. And guess who carries the message for that? You do, you folks, by your vote, by being involved. The president won't be there. His cabinet secretaries that advance these issues won't be there unless you care enough to be informed and be involved. All right, folks. Ken, Travis, thanks for joining me. Folks, thank you for joining me. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, and you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.